Hello, everyone. Welcome to Playdate with Allison LeBrun. I am so excited because I'm here today with an amazing woman, and I'm just excited to connect you with her. So we're really here to dive into the juicy stuff, play, discovery, curiosity, and where that intersects with career. And you can find me over on Facebook at Allison H. LeBrun. And let's get started. So I'm here today with a friend that I met at Connection Camp. Oh my gosh, so many amazing connections happened at Connection Camp. And we were actually literally in a bunk. We were in a cabin with eight other women and we happened to be in a bunk. So I'm here with Kelly. Welcome, Kelly.
Thank you so much for having me, Allison. It's a pleasure to get to chat with you and be a part of your community.
Beautiful. So I am just so curious. I don't actually know you super well. We really didn't get to spend a lot. I mean, Connection Camp, there was so much happening. So we're all over the place. So the first thing I always love to ask people is, what did you love to play with when you were a child? What kind of pops in your mind?
Yeah, so my sister and I, we had, the basement was a very elaborate setup where we would do rollerblade parties, where we would just rollerblade back and forth through the thing, and also school, teaching a lot. I loved playing teacher, where we would make up tests and homework. Like, we like gave ourselves double school, which is actually kind of ridiculous to look back at now, but we did a lot of that, and I was very involved in dance and softball. So when we were playing, it was a lot of like organized things, and then a lot of just movement and teaching.
Wow, that's so interesting. It's interesting. And where do you see, like, in your life today, how does play kind of intersect with, like, what do you like to do for play now as an adult? And where do you see it intersecting with your career?
Yeah, so when I'm working with groups or individuals, I always love to remind people and myself, like, it's all play. Like, all of life is play. Yeah. And the more that we're allowing ourselves to just be in that and have fun with what we're doing, and we get to create our lives and what we're doing for our for ourselves as a career. And so being able to bring the component of fun allows us to just stay in a higher vibration. And the higher our vibration is, the more we're able to let the things that we truly want to come in. So for me, play is crucial in just, like, the way we live and in what we're creating in our lives.
Ooh, I love that. Yes, that so resonates. And so when I think of you, there's two things that always come up for me. I think of cacao ceremonies and Reiki, but I would love for you to tell the listeners a little bit more about, you know, what exactly does that look like? What do you call yourself? What do you do? And sort of how did you get involved in this? Like, I feel like this isn't something maybe in high school you would be like, oh, I really want to lead cacao ceremonies and do hands-on healing with people. So what did that look like?
Yeah, so it's definitely been a, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear kind of endeavor for me in getting into this. I always was naturally helping and healing and a good listener, and my mom always told me I should go to school for psychology and be a therapist because I was just always a giver. That's always just something I did by nature, not really knowing that that's more of the embodiment that I wanted to pursue as a career. I started school for education. I always kind of knew, I was like, I'm a teacher doing the things. About 11 years ago, I got into meditation after a rapid body transformation. I went into college over 200 pounds, and then did a falling in love of honoring myself and loving myself. And with that change in my body, it brought me into meditation to cure my mind. And then 6 years ago in a meditation, I was brought into really delving into ascension in the spirit. And I received a message to look up healing modalities, that I was a healer. And that brought me to Reiki. It rippled through my body. 2 days later, I very serendipitously met who became my first teacher in Reiki. And that really started that journey there. And cacao, kind of the same thing. About last summer, I was at a couple of permaculture events, and I experienced a cacao ceremony for the first time. And it just opened my heart. And I was like, this is beautiful. It circled back in October, where I was invited to a cacao ceremony at a business that wasn't even open yet. It was just like this nook of a place, and it became my tribe, and I started working with it deeply. It led me to Guatemala in January, studying with the Mayans, really getting to learn this medicine, and it's helped me so profoundly in breaking down these walls and creating the space to dive deeper into myself, to really step into my full potential, the leader that I am, and that knowing that all of us have this capacity. So it's all kind of morphed. And when I received the message of Reiki, very shortly after the message of heart space came up. And it's been fun watching it kind of evolve with me as, you know, I've evolved and the practice goes. But in a nutshell, everything that I do, whether it's hosting ceremonies or working one-on-one in Reiki or working in coaching capacities, hosting events, it all comes down to helping us get out of our heads and getting into our hearts and learning the power that is in this space in the middle of the chest. Because it's so powerful when we're able to actually tune in to our truth that's here and then radiate from here and attract in what we truly desire.
Wow. Wow, that's so amazing. I love this. And it's something that's been, I've been going deeper into on my journey. It's always, you know, layers and layers, but it's been kind of like circling back around as like my heart calling me to go deeper in. And I love to ask this question because I feel like a lot of listeners out there, you know, most people were not raised growing up to connect to our heart, right? We're raised in very sort of structured systems that are like, you know, this teacher has the answer for you, or this is the right answer and you need to learn it and you need to memorize it in your brain and like, you know, live by like what other people tell you. And I feel like there's such an interesting time because this is sort of collapsing around us, right? Like this whole, like, I mean, whether you want to call it like we've kind of led in more like masculine energy, maybe more like wounded masculine, I would say, energy. And now, you know, people are like, this doesn't work anymore. We want to be in our hearts. So I'm curious to know, like, when you were growing up, like, was one of your parents or both of your parents, did they have a connection with their heart? Like, did you have that foundation? Because I heard you say, you know, when you went to college, you had this huge calling to like really heal your body through losing a lot of weight. And like, was there any foundation, like any mentors early on in your life that sort of connected you to that intuitive knowing? Because I really hear you're so intuitive and like, yeah, where did that grow?
Yeah, it's a good question. No, I did not grow up in a household where this was the norm. It kind of brings me into that space of usually like our biggest challenges or our biggest wounds really are the golden nugget to our one of our big gifts here that we can give to the world. I grew up in a house with a lot of adversity. And emotional intelligence and just being able to express ourselves wasn't a strength in my household. Mm-hmm. And so me being very expressive from a young age, you know, it was a lot of, these are my emotions, this is what I feel, and being shamed for that and having to really learn to come back out of my shell, be like, no, this is how I feel. And there's so much power in feeling it and being okay with them feeling all the range of the emotions. I was blessed to grow up in, we call it a tribe, where my parents were good friends with another six families, where they were all about the same age, had kids at the same time. And so I grew up in this space where we'd all go on group vacations and do all the things. And so I really did get to experience what it was like to have like other parents. Yeah. And different people I could lean on and like find the needs that were needed in those times with those relationships. I spent a lot of time alone as a kid. I spent a lot of time in solitude. I spent a lot of time what I knew then as pretend sleeping, not knowing that I was going into deep meditative states, because that was my escape. My escape was just, I'll pretend to sleep and people will leave me alone because I just didn't know how to handle what was going on. There were so many feelings I was having that I didn't know how to process, which I now see as a gift because I've been able to spend hours meditating as a kid. But there was... it's really been this tool of learning how to embody my emotions and take pride in them and know that in sharing them and being authentic in everything I do, I'm helping other people learn the same. So it's been fun to watch the shift in my family actually happen as I've stepped into my power and feeling and being able to really express my emotions and communicate with them of what I'm feeling from these moments, this and that, and like unpack that together.
Yeah. That's so, so beautiful. It's so amazing how we always are gifted sort of like the exact things that we need, but also like these perfect challenges that bring us to our calling. And so amazing. Wow. So I'm curious. I want to dive into cacao because that's something that I came into maybe like 6 years ago, actually. A friend of mine who is a Brennan healer, she was visiting and she's like, oh, you have like raw cacao. And I'm like, what is that? And she's like, what? You don't know what that is? And she sort of introduced me, but I feel like I don't know so much about it. So I want to take a quick break for the listeners and the next segment will pop in and kind of go in about your cacao journey. All right. See you guys soon. All right. We're back and I'm so excited to just dive more in with you about the heart space. So you keep, you know, is that the name of your business?
That is the name of my business.
Okay, cool. So, and where can people find you?
So you can find me in a couple of places. Mm-hmm. My website, to get an overview of everything, is heartspace.co.
Okay.
My Instagram is the same for that. And if you want to follow my personal journey, I mm-hmm. share on Instagram. I am Kelly, K-E-L-L-Y,
okay.
K-E-E-F-E. Then on Facebook, you can find me as well.
Okay. And we'll put that in the description for everyone, so in the notes, everyone has that. What do you mean, and what was your first experience with connecting with your heart space? Like, do you remember the first time you had the experience of dropping into your heart, and like, what was that like?
Yeah, so for me, like, the understanding of heart space first really came from yoga. Mm-hmm. I had been practicing yoga for some time, and, you know, in the practice, we just always namaste, your hands, you know, at center, and it's really a symbol. This is a gassho meditation, our hands pressed together and holding our space, and it symbolizes unity of bringing both sides of our body together, mm-hmm. a balance. My first experience was really in yoga, bringing that together in that way. And then in meditation, I would just go into these heightened states of ecstatic and understanding and just sense of calm and light bursting through. Mm-hmm. And for me, that's the heart space, is that sense of calm and that light that's coming through, just that understanding and truth that is there. Mm-hmm. And so it was really when working with Reiki and just doing the healing work, I find that so much of it is coming back into the heart. And with that, it can sometimes be like feeling the feels, you know, mm-hmm. like, and it's like, oh, I'm in my heart space right now, because there's just times that things need to heal. And being able to center into that. And heart space came through, again, as I mentioned before, in, you know, what I received, look up healing modalities, very soon after I received heart space. Mm. And I was like, okay. And before I was like sharing this as, you know, identifying it with the business side of things, I got the domain, I got the things where I was like, I don't know what this is yet, but it's going to be something. And I've let it evolve with me over time, and just seeing the power of us moving into this. It's, yeah, the name of my business, but more so it's a lifestyle. Mm. And it's, you know, living from a place of going against the grain and really being okay with, like, I live from my heart. And I know that, like, this is part of my purpose here, is to live this way every day, mm-hmm. and be okay with being, air quote, different from others and doing this, because I'm going to listen to the truth here and know that that is a way for us to reach a new level of depth within ourselves and with one another, bringing us into a new world.
Mm. So beautiful. And I think a lot of the listeners that listen to this podcast will resonate with that, because, you know, really what I do is I support people in connecting more to their childlike wonder and play, which is, you know, the heart, and really discovering their calling or their career. What is their heart calling? And I think this time is so interesting, because a lot of us were raised, again, where it's like, you know, you go to college and you study this one thing and that's what you do for your job. But so many people are being called to, like, not have a job, but have a calling, have a career that really is connected to something bigger than them. So do you feel that the practice of, you know, learning how to connect more to your heart, it can support that journey?
Yeah, so you're listening, you can't see, but a huge smile came over my face as this question came up, because it's one of the things I'm working a lot with individuals in a one-on-one space now, yeah. is how do you create this career for yourself? How do you actually make a living doing this? How do you do the things? And so much of it is knowing what we want and believing in it, and then manifesting from the heart. Mm. Like, the electromagnetic field around the heart is 5,000 times more powerful than any other space on our body. Mm. So when we're able to really learn how to tap into this space and open it and then amplify from here, our ability to really bring forth what it is that we want in our lives and create it expedites a lot.
Wow.
And so it's really fun to, like, yeah, we can have whatever we want, and it's not always rainbows and sunshine along the way. And also having that balance of knowing, how do you balance the masculine and the feminine that we were chatting about earlier, of knowing, like, okay, if you're in a job right now and you want to go to the next, it might be honoring that inner child to be an amazing parent right now, mm-hmm. and say, amazing, I see what you want, and we're going to get there. And we're going to set you up in a way that's going to allow this to be long and sustainable.
Yeah.
And so we're going to do this because I love you and I care about you. And we're going to start to work with someone who's able to help support us in creating the framework.
Yeah.
So you're able to go. you know, I've done a lot of fumbling in this, and I'm throwing my hands up 6 years ago, and I've gone in and out of little side jobs and different jobs and playing the game.
Yeah.
To get to a space where it's like, okay, I got it now. And seeing all these lessons and experiences I've had is now giving me the ability to help others be like, listen, I'm going to save you.
Yeah.
A lot. Like, obviously you're your own teacher, and you're going to tell us what's best and what your heart says. And I'm able to help in giving more of a framework and helping in that, like, business side of it as well, yeah. Bringing it through. Like, I chose business management. I started school as education and went to school for business management, listening to the intuition,
yeah.
And seeing, like, cool, let's bring them together, because it's so possible. Like, we live in a world, anything is possible, first of all.
Yeah.
But to create a life doing what we love it's supposed to be easy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. Yeah, there can be a level of ease. It won't, yeah, there'll definitely be tears and, like, failures and all of it. Like, that's part of it. But when you're being pulled forward by something that's bigger than you, like, you're really, you know, a calling, like, usually something, a service of some kind. It can look a lot of different ways. It doesn't have to look like being a monk or something, but being of service in some way. There's always going to be that energy that's supporting you, right? Like you said, your heart has, like, all this massive energy that just can exponentialize. It's so brilliant. I'm just so present to, like, how brilliant you are in listening to your intuition, right? Because you really are a teacher. You know, you teach now, but you knew that the traditional route of teaching wasn't going to serve you. It wouldn't be where you could teach what you really are here to teach. So you had to, like, choose business so that you could create a school called Heart Space where you could teach what you want to teach. That's so amazing. Wow. So what would you say? Actually, I want to do a separate segment and have, you know, maybe you could share, like, two practices, simple practices that people could do right now as they're listening to this podcast to connect more deeply to their heart. And maybe, like, one single tip that they could do to, like, actually, you know, bring that into their real life, you know, like, beyond just, like, meditating, but, like, some real life action. Cool. All right. We'll see you guys in the next episode. And we're back, and I'm so excited to explore the magic and the power of cacao. So I have a feeling, I don't know, some people listening may know what cacao is. I know about 6 years ago, one of my dear friends, Stephanie, she's a healer, and she's like, oh, let's get some cacao. And I'm like, what's that? What does that mean? I don't even know what that is. And I mean, I know I love chocolate, but she really, you know, dived into, like, oh, it actually has more higher health benefits for you. But you're really working with cacao on, like, the next level. So what is, for just someone that's never heard of it, like, what is cacao and like the kind of cacao that you use for ceremonies?
Yeah, so cacao is chocolate in its purest form. We have cacao, say you go to Whole Foods or a natural food store and you get cacao. It's a superfood that's amazing, and, like, go for adding into your smoothies and adding into your life, because the magnesium is great for our bodies. However, when we're working with ceremonial grade cacao, there is no processing that's been done to it. So you're going from pod through this 5-step process into the bar or the chips, however ceremonialists work with it. So you're getting the highest vibration available, as well as all the nutrients that nourishes us on a physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual level.
Mm.
And so it's very high in magnesium. So it nourishes the joints and the muscles and the nervous system, allowing them all to relax. It also opens the blood vessels, allowing for an increase of oxygen to come through. So we're having this interesting experience of our body relaxing, but simultaneously having this heightened awareness. It opens the heart chakra, and there's tryptobromine in it, which can, it's like similar to caffeine a bit, and you get that heightenedness. But it's also creating serotonin in the brain.
Mm.
And so it allows us to really connect deeply into feeling a sense of full open-heartedness and joy. So it is a little bit of that, like, childlike and giddiness of just like, oh yeah, this is pure bliss. This is what we're capable of, and this is truth. And so a lot of the chocolate that we're working with, we're eating. We work with ceremonial grade. If we're eating chocolate in the stores and things like that, what's happening is we're pulling out the nutrients, and they're getting sold to different industries. And so on a soul level, you were saying that you love chocolate. Mm-hmm. You know, on a soul level, we know that chocolate's nourishing, and it's something that our soul really wants. And so cacao allows us to actually receive what it is that we're craving at that soul level, and really be able to work with that really yummy medicine.
Ooh, wow. So juicy. And I'm so curious about cacao ceremonies, because I know that's something that you lead and facilitate. What drew you to actually starting to lead these ceremonies? And I know you shared in the earlier episode that you got led to go to Guatemala and actually study there. What was that experience like?
Oh my goodness. So the trip to Guatemala, to start there, it really was allowing myself to tune into the heart and go into the unknown. You know, where there was a lot of, up until the night before leaving, I almost didn't go. Fear was coming up of, you shouldn't do this, and but their business is going, and you need to do that. And it was just like, go. Your heart says go. There's things for you here. And so I surrendered, and I went, and I went and lived in the jungle for 5 days, learning much more about cacao, from how it's grown and the agriculture behind it, to seeing the process, doing ceremony with the Mayan elders there. And then that journey, I ended up extending my trip another week and a half off of intuition. And it led me to doing a homestay with Mayan elders while I was there, learning sacred ceremony, different capacities, and really just embodying the Mayan wisdom and the brilliance of the simplicity that they carry in their lives, which has been such a huge catalyst in how I live my life every day now, and getting to share that medicine and the culture of the Mayans in ceremony. So when I got back, I really started sharing much more, and it's been fun seeing it grow, where I do events out in the city. And now it's becoming more popular, where people are asking me to do ceremonies for their private communities or special events like a bridal shower or different like one-offs, where people are wanting to connect deeper with their community or have a celebration in a way that's not involving the traditional things that we know as like partying and celebration tools.
Wow, that's amazing. And what happens? I mean, what do you feel like is the benefit of people experiencing a cacao ceremony? I mean, why did the Mayans invent this? Like, why do they do it? And what did you see, you know, kind of happen in their ceremonies? And then now, how do you kind of like support having that be accessible in, you know, the world that we live in, which is maybe a bit different?
Yeah, so the Mayans know cacao as a sacred medicine of the heart, also known as the food of the gods. Before they had currency, they actually used cacao beans as their money because they see it's of such high value.
Wow.
And they use it in celebrations of weddings and birthdays and things, because it allows you to really open your heart to be a full ecstatic and be full of love. And they also use it when it's time to have hard conversations, because it allows everyone to come from a grounded place but speak their authentic truth from their heart.
Wow.
And so it's really used as this medicine and tool to be able to live as our most authentic selves. And so I find in ceremony, it really helps us create space to, like, one, just know it's a safe spot to go and really explore the inner world that can feel so kind of scary sometimes. You know, like, when we start to, like, go down there, it's like, oh, I don't want to go down there. That doesn't feel good. It really creates a space of, one, we're held and nourished, and we can go in there and we're in a space where we can share what's coming up and be able to reflect off of one another and see that we're not in this alone. And people are probably going through the same thing. And it really creates these beautiful, authentic connections, and kind of in that like divine working, you know, where we meet exactly who we're meant to meet, or we receive that piece of love or information or knowings every time we circle. And we just get stronger within ourselves and in our community every time we come together.
Wow. So amazing. And I love seeing like the mirroring of, you know, you shared earlier, your growing up was, you had this extended kind of tribe with your parents, friends, and their kids. And now you get to like kind of recreate that. So what is your wish, you know, as you lead more ceremonies and you get more present to the power of what this can create for people? What's your wish for these ceremonies and for Heart Space?
Yeah, so this is a big juicy question. It's been fun to watch. Heart Space is really starting to have its own entity and heartbeat as we're growing, and just seeing that so many people are opening up to the beautiful medicines that's so natural, and allowing ourselves to come into a heightened state. Whether that is doing these one-off events with, you know, private groups, and getting to do more of teachings of how we can empower ourselves to become our own healers. And then if we feel called to, turn around and share it with others. And so we're really starting to move into a space of creating classes and space for people to step into their power of how to work with these medicines and then share it for themselves. And really just allowing these events and changing the way of how we party or how we celebrate life and how we can show up as our most authentic selves. We're really starting to come into, like, if you don't know where to go, if you don't know how to start and make a shift in your life or to just allow yourself to find people who are similar, just go to the heart space. When in doubt, like in life, like whether it's like me and you, like you're generally here, like if you're in a space, just take a moment to be still and just go to the heart space. It's never going to steer you wrong.
Wow, so beautiful. And like, I just see, yeah, your vision like rippling out. And, you know, one person, say they study with you and then they go home to see their family or they go hang out with friends and they're like, oh, I'll lead a cacao ceremony or facilitate it. And then that group of people gets connected to their heart space and more people. Cause I feel like it isn't, we're not trained to do that, you know, except for maybe if you grow up in a culture where maybe like meditation and yoga, you know, like I have a lot of friends who grew up in India, for example, and I noticed that they have a bit of an easier time being connected to their heart because it's just in the culture that people practice, you know, in school, they maybe had to do yoga as part of their gym class, you know what I mean? So it's, so I love that you're creating this like movement for people here to start practicing this and connect to their heart space. It's amazing. And I wonder, I'm like wondering, being in wonderment, like, ooh, I wonder like how the world is going to just so evolve out of this.
Thank you. It's always refreshing, like the mirror back and seeing that where it is, you know, we're in a time where we're all so brilliant. We all have so much power. And like I say all the time, like we are magic in physical form. And so the more we're all just willing to be open and try something new and see what magic sparks in us, we're like, ooh, I should be doing that. You know, it allows us to just play. It brings us back into like grand scheme of things. I stop and I'm like, these spaces are so powerful. And it's us coming together, drinking chocolate, dancing, sharing, laughing, having fun.
Yeah.
And it's doing this deep, profound work that allows us to change our lives and the rest of the world around us. And so it's really fun. And cacao ceremonies with our family rock. I did that a couple of months ago. I was like, all right, family, it's time. We're going to sit around and we're going to do a cacao ceremony. My dad was very resistant.
Yeah.
But he did it. And he let me smudge him. And wow. We did it. You know, and it was really special to see this full circle of growing up in the household I did. And like touching into our emotions was not a thing.
Yeah.
And to see a start of his unfolding, but my sister and my mom were so in it, and like we had a beautiful night. Like it's, yeah, there's really big work for all of us to be able to share.
I'm so celebrating that. And the beautiful thing about family, right, is like usually, for maybe not for everyone, but for the most part, you're kind of like in it with these people for life, you know, whether or not you get one another, it's just kind of like a most, you know, 80% of people, it's just an agreement that you have. And so it's so cool that you get to, you know, you get to come back like your dad was your teacher. Now you get to be the teacher. And I see that in my family too. And it's just, it gives me like, I just love that. I love that. Like it, cause it's often like we're resistant to things that are different. We're resistant to trying new things. But sometimes, you know, if we have someone, a friend who is like a family to us or a family member who's like loves us unconditionally and they say, come on, and they nudge us, all of a sudden, like our whole world opens up. So I just love that about, I can feel like for you, family and like deep friendship is an important part of your work.
Yeah. And it's fun to get to see how much deep friendship and family is like chosen family, you know, evolve so quickly in doing this work, you know, where again, we're not alone. And there's so many people who are awakening. And to me, like shifting where it doesn't have to mean necessarily we meditate and we're like sending out, like awakening is just having more compassion for ourselves and one another and realizing, oh, hey, like it's actually really cool and nice to be kind and care and be of service. And more people are awakening to this part of themselves, which is allowing us to access our highest potential and the power of coming together. And in these spaces, again, amplifying and manifesting from the heart of, if you truly want those similar people in your life, you will find them. especially going into spaces where everyone else is seeking that too, and we're doing work of the heart. Like, yeah. It's amazing to watch the beautiful, deep, fast friendships that are cultivated.
Well, I know there's one thing for sure. I cannot wait to come to one of your cacao ceremonies. Now I'm like totally like, I'm there. And it's so funny, like, I have resisted. I know that they exist, and there's like also other shamanic work happening in the city, and I resist going to it. It's so interesting. And I'm like, oh, it's just my own resistance to that part of me that, you know, is like deeply connected to this kind of, like, I used to, my best friend Carolyn Chalky and I used to do ceremonies before, like, on Sunday nights before the school week to like call in the snow, and we would be singing at the window, and we literally just made stuff up. We had these like rattles. I don't know where we got this from, but like we would howl at the moon. We would do all this stuff. I mean, I grew up in nature on an island, so there's a lot of nature. And so this is like, it's a part of me. So I'm so grateful that we got to meet and connect at Connection Camp. Yeah.
Yeah, me too. It's some fun to see like in the different circles that we continue to pop up, and the bringing of how you just have that innate knowing. That's so much of shamanic practicing and being an intuitive healer is that we've known all of this, and not to go too woo woo. We'll keep it pretty grounded. But, you know, if you think about it, we've had lifetimes. And we've done these lifetimes of collecting ancient knowings and knowledge and information that we have within ourselves right now that we can access if we choose to show up for it and allow it to come online. And like those things that we just feel called to do, that's the heart, you know? Or it's like, oh, I don't know why I'm doing it, but I'm going to do it. And oh, that felt good. And oh, I feel better now.
Yeah.
And that's the work, you know? So like, that's amazing that like you were doing that. And you mentioned before, like, the resistance to new things, especially when it's that, all right, we're going to dive in, because, like, it feels murky, and it doesn't feel fun, and, like, you know, that stability of the earth that it provides us to be able to go under the earth, under the surface, and explore what's really going on under there, explore the roots, explore that, but we have to see and understand the roots to be able to come back up through the earth and the surface to get that sunlight and see the flower again.
Yeah. Wow. I'm like blown away. It's so funny. This is what led me to start this podcast, actually. I just literally heard in my head one day, I was sitting on the couch. I was having a bad day. I was like feeling super lost. And I just sat down and I tap on my head and my heart. That's like a thing I do to help go in, you know, because it's so easy to be out. Like, look in the internet. What does the internet have to say about what I should do right now? Because I'm feeling terrible. Maybe I'm depressed. Maybe I need this. Maybe I need a therapist. Like, and I was like, no, I'm just going to go. I'll be with my heart. I'll tap and just relax my body. And I just heard, like, start a podcast and call it Playdate. And I was like, okay. And then the first thing that I hit was like, I don't know how to start a podcast and I hate technology. Blah, blah, blah. And then I was like, okay, well, show me how to do it. And I just heard this like voice in my head be like, look up how to start an easy podcast. And I looked up how to start an easy podcast. And all of a sudden I found Anchor, which is crazy because my uncle, he passed away like 4 years ago, but he had an Anchor tattoo on his arm. And so as right after he passed away, I saw, and Rhode Island is where I'm from, and the symbol of Rhode Island is Anchor. And we were driving back from his funeral, and I was just kind of like sitting there thinking about him, and I'm like, just show me something. And I looked at the anchor and I was like, oh, that's your symbol. Like, when I see an anchor symbol, that means you are helping me. Like, I really got just like that innate knowing, like that deep, it, like, I can't prove it, right? Like, everyone's like, how do you, I'm like, I don't know, you just feel it. Like, you feel the truth like pulsing through your body. And every time I'm stuck, I swear to God, Anchor is a popular symbol. Everyone's like, oh, it's so popular. But I'm like, but it's always in the moment when I feel utterly lost that I will see like a massive anchor right in front of me. It'll be like a poster. So it was like, of course, this app that I use to do this podcast is called Anchor. Like, of course. Thank you, Uncle Alan, for hooking me up. But the beautiful thing is like, in this journey of doing this podcast, it's like just like what you're saying, like I just connect to my heart and I'm like, who's next? Like, who's the next person to have a conversation with? And whoever pops up, I'm like, okay, and we just do it. And it always, it's like opening up all these interesting new friendships and relationships and awarenesses that I, like, my head couldn't have conjured. It would have taken years and years, and now it's like within like 3 months. So yeah, it's...
Oh, that's so exciting. Yeah, like... common symbols and stuff, like, they mean something. Yeah. Like, that's, like, feathers are one of mine. That's one of the most popular ones of, like, our guides with us and whatnot. So, that's beautiful. Thank you, Uncle and Alan, because this is needed work. So, thank you.
So, all right. So, I'll stop blabbing because I really want to do a next segment, a short segment, and have you share with people just a couple or one simple practice that they can start doing right now to connect to their heart. And then how can they take that from, like, how can they take that heart energy and put it in action in their life? So, we'll see you guys in the next segment. All right, so we're back. So, Kelly, you are an amazing teacher. I feel that about you. So, yeah, what would be a simple tool or practice that people could do right now in their lives just to connect more to their heart?
Yeah, so I'll give two quick so that people can feel into what feels better or they can play with both of them. Our heart loves to just be acknowledged and heard. And so whether you're listening on a train, you're walking, or you're home, you know, whenever you have time, finding a quiet space, and just placing your hands on your heart, maybe your left hand first on your chest and then the right, and just breathing into the body for a moment and allowing yourself to just bring your focus to the area in the center of the chest. And you can feel this lightness begin to come, and acknowledging the heart and simply saying, "Hello, heart. I am here. I am listening." And continuing to say this until you really feel yourself move into a line of communication with the space in the center of the chest. And once there, if you have a direct question, or if you're thinking about a certain situation, or trying to, you know, whatever it may be, once the heart knows you're listening, be safe and comfortable to be able to ask that question. And then just allow yourself to sit and receive the answer of the heart. It's a beautiful way to be able to just start to create that communication with the heart. Another tip is to tap into more of our truest guidance. I love dream work. And so this also allows you to be a little less having to stop during the day because you just wake up and you do it. So by placing a journal and a pen right by your bed, when you wake up first thing in the morning, you just grab the pen and you write down whatever's coming to mind. This could be rememberings from the dreams, or just you just start writing whatever comes up for you. This allows us to be channeling, if you will, our truths of whatever was coming through in our dream work, or just right fresh out of the morning, things are coming up. And then we can reflect on that later and then tap into how that feels inside of us. It may be something that feels a little icky and like tension, and feel it in the body or in the heart. And we know that's something that we can then go breathe into and heal and work through. Or it might just be a really amazing reminder and like those loving supports from our guides and our truths coming through.
Wow, that's so beautiful. Those are two super grounded practices. And then say someone, you know, say someone is on this podcast listening to this and they try connecting to their heart and they hear something like, you know, go to that dance class or go call that friend, or, you know, they hear some suggestion from their heart to do something. What do you suggest them?
Do it. It's fun. I'm now going to put out a challenge. You've just inspired me to put out a challenge for like even just like 2 days or a day, allowing yourself to go into just listening to your intuition and just see what happens. Like, it can be really fun. If you have a day coming up where you have the day off, maybe even like keeping the phone at home or putting it on airplane mode for a little while and just flowing and setting the intention of like universe, God, something bigger than me, whatever you believe in and feels good to you. I'm just going to trust you to flow me in a way to have an amazing day. And just listen to where it brings you. And if you feel called, oh, I haven't been to that coffee shop in a while, going and hanging out there until you feel called to go to something else. And just play with how much things can flow and be an enjoyable day when you allow yourself to listen to your own inner guidance system and play with the callings and the advice that's coming from those little intuitive hits.
Oh my God, that's so juicy. I so agree. There's nothing more delicious in truth. I mean, well, there's a few things, but like it's very delicious. Oh my. So this has been absolutely, absolutely amazing. I'm so inspired. I'm so connected to my heart just being with you. And I'm excited about your vision and about Heart Space. And I'm excited to connect people to you. So if people want, you know, more connection with you again, like, how do you work with people so they know?
Yeah, so I have events going on around the city. Mm-hmm. I also do private events mm-hmm. in the capacity of cacao ceremonies. So if you have a group at work or your personal family, special events and friends, you can reach out to me in that way to work. I also teach Reiki. Mm-hmm. So if people are feeling called to open themselves up to that, I have small group classes and privates for that. And I love working with people in empowerment coaching. If you're ready to shift and want to just like blast through some blocks and like pull yourself into your highest self, that is available. I have about 3 spots available for coaching for the rest of the year.
Awesome. Amazing. And we'll connect people up in the description to all your social medias and way to connect with you. So thank you again. And everyone out there, please comment. You know, when we post this, share in the link if you got to spend some time actually practicing being in your intuition for a day. What happened? What did you discover? And we'll see you all at the next cacao ceremony. All right. Take care, everyone.